Welcome to Does the Team Think? With Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and the man who hatched up the idea, Professor Jimmy Edwards. And now, team, you'll hear a question put to you by Dr. Eric Wrench.
What would the team do if they could be invisible for a short while?
What would the team do if they could be invisible for a short while?
Well, it'd be a bit of a wrench, wouldn't it, really?
You should be a dentist, not a doctor.
Perhaps
Dr. Wrench!
I tell you what I would do if I were invisible for a short time. I'd run about naked. In Piccadilly. Don't laugh at me, sir. I'm invisible, don't forget.
I'd like to go into a lift and pinch ladies' buttons and see who gets slapped.
Well, it wouldn't be hard for me to be invisible. I'm almost that now. Be a bit tough on Jim.
All this is a little bit like the new deodorant called Gone. You cover yourself with it and disappear, and then everyone wonders where the smell comes from.
Yes.
There you go, there you go.
Oh, yes. Oh, they're definitely yours tonight,
sir. Tonight. I wouldn't mind being night porter at Rodine. If I could be invisible.
Night porter at Rodine? Nothing happens at Rodine. They're too young.
You don't know. During the war, you know, Rodine was occupied by the Navy. And there were still the notices on the wall, should you require a mistress during the night, ring the bell.
With all due respect, this is Wrench, not Wrens.
What are you a doctor of, Wrench?
A philosophy.
Oh, well done. Yes, so am I.
I was going to show you my sore place after, but I won't.
A doctor of what philosophy?
Philosophy, yeah.
I tell you, if you could make yourself invisible, it wouldn't be a bad idea to go up to Littlewoods on a Saturday afternoon when the football results have come in and slip in your coupon with all the results right,
You cheat.
Then the following Tuesday, you're up at Grosvenor House and you get a cheque for 250,000 quid and a kiss from Rita Webb.
And you say... and you say, this money is not going to change my outlook one whit. Although I must admit this morning I told my employer to get stuffed.
If I was invisible, I'd like to go into an undertaker and yell out, have you got any empty boxes?
All right.
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd go in and say, have you got something to stop me coughing?
I'd like to rush into Woolworths and shout out, Marks and Spencer's! Let's hear from the doctor.
I do want to hear from Dr. Wrench. Dr. Wrench, the most unusual question. What made you put it? You know, it's so strange.
Well, I think it's wishful thinking, really.
I would like to be invisible and go in a butcher's and change all the prices.
I know he said he put them up.
How awful. I'm a bit too old for that, Arthur, these days. But never mind.
I would really like to go to one of those very posh concerts in the Albert Hall.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all there, you see, and tail suits and everything. Mm. And the conductor comes on and bows to the audience.
Who's the conductor?
And then and Charlie Adams, actually. And the
Andre Previn.
This piano soloist comes in and he bows this way and he bows that way. And he goes to sit at the piano and I pull it away.
You pull the piano away?
The seat, you fool!
Oh, going back to your question, Dr. Wrench. Yes. You realise that to the bulk of the people that we are invisible. I mean, people have said that to me. They said, we listened to you on radio for 40 years. It's funny to see you're alive and breathing, you know.
Yeah.
Me?
You?
Yeah, yes, I am. And they say how lovely you are. We didn't think you were as nice as that. You know?
Thank you very much, team, and thank you very much, Dr. Red.
Thank you. Thank you.
Team, you're now going to hear a question put to you by Miss Gilda Faroni.
Does the team think they'd like to have been officials at the court of Tutankhamun, or is there some other period of history they'd prefer?
Does the team think they'd like to have been officials at the court of Tutankhamun, or is there some other period of history they'd prefer?
Well, I didn't know that. I've never heard of this place. I thought it was an underground station.
I don't think that's a bad...
Tottenham Court Road, I thought it was.
That is not a bad question, Gilda, my darling, if I may call you my darling.
Gilda, she'd
well,
love
you were
it.
Very love lovely, it. Because, you see, I think it might have been a good period because I've always wanted to be near my mummy.
Why is he now known as Tutankhamun?
Namun.
For a thousand of years, we've called him Tutankhamun.
Because we were ignorant.
Oh, is that
well,
it?
Just
you still a... are, Mac, aren't you? That's your trouble.
Well, just I think it would be a wonderful thing to be a pharaoh with 300 wives. A loaf of bread, a jug of wine... An eeny, meeny, miny, moho.
You're not a pharaoh, you're a fairy, aren't you? All I know about Tutankhamun is that there was an awful lot of traffic round the British Museum recently.
He was only 15.
Because his name was up on the billing.
15 That's right. when he
what
died.
What sort of a singer is he?
15 when he died.
15 when he died?
15 when he died. They couldn't stand the Sphinx. It was terrible.
You know why there was Sphinx? Because it was east of sewage.
Now, isn't that the most polluted thing you've ever heard?
Yeah. So far as I'm concerned, I would like to have lived in Pharaoh's time because I would have adored to have seen Cleopatra playing the part of Miss Elizabeth Taylor.
Well, that should have gone for a Burton, really.
She was there clasping her asp in her grasp, gasping her last.
Well, if you were going to have an official job in the court, how about I'd like to have been... in charge of the concubines.
Oh.
I'd have had a pharaoh time.
just in case these four gentlemen's education needs sort of elevating a bit, Miss Farroni, could you tell us something about the job of the official at the court of Tutankhamun? Then perhaps they might like to have a job like that.
Well, I think one of them walked in front of Tutankhamun carrying his banner.
Who was he called? Eunuch Powell?
One walked behind him carrying his fan.
With a spade in his hand.
One blew a trumpet.
That's me.
that's Jimmy Edwards.
Jimmy blows trumpets all the time, but we never take any notice.
I'd like to have lived in the days of Louis the 16th with all those pomaded people around in the beautiful... Palace of Versailles. The only thing is, you'd
finish
up...
They used to have high heels in those days. That would have helped.
And also, they had the guillotine very much in to the fore then. You heard the story about the Englishman, Irishman and the Scotsman who were going to be guillotined.
We're going to.
You're going to hear it. And the Englishman went first, as he would, and he asked, he said he wasn't afraid of the guillotine, could he be executed face upwards? So he lay back and the knife came tunnelling down about 6 inches from his throat. It stopped. So they said, it's a miracle. Mon Dieu, it is a miracle. He must be released. So off he went. So they got the Scotsman in next, laying back on the thing, and the blade came down, stopped about 6 inches away from him, stopped again, you see. So they let the Scotsman go. So off he went. So the Irishman was next. He came. He lay down like the others, with his face up there, and he said, oh, before you start, I can see what's stopping it. It's that bit of wood up at the top.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Miss Farroni. Thank you. And now we have a question from Mr. Jonathan Fry. Mr. Jonathan Fry, will you put your question, please?
If each member of the team had to do the housework for one day, what would be the first job they would tackle?
Says Mr. Jonathan Fry. If each member of the team had to do the housework for one day, what would be the first job they would tackle?
Well, I'd try to get the wife out of bed.
I'm not going in the bedroom for a start.
Well, that would be the natural thing. I mean, once you got the wife off to work, what you'd do, you'd make the bed. You'd get a hammer and a few nails, a few planks of wood, and make the bed.
I mean, you go into the bedroom.
I tried.
And empty the present from Margate under the bed, you know.
I tried to help.
We used to have one of those, a present from Margate, for under the bed.
Yeah.
And it had a clockwork musical box.
Oh.
And when it was lifted up, it used to play, Landlord Fill the Flooring Bowl. That's true.
Actually, I did young Fry. He's very young, this boy, isn't he, Jonathan? Very young boy.
Jonathan, how old are you, in fact?
I'm 14.
Splendid. I was 14 when I was your age.
Jonathan, you're slipping. When I was your age, I was only 12. But I'll tell you something, young Jonathan Fry, about this housework. It's a very good question, because, you know, I do help my wife around the house. I have to. She's always drunk.
Always drunk.
Yeah, always drunk. And one day,
Till you get home.
She took the dog for a walk in the park.
Right.
And it wasn't easy because we haven't got a dog. And she kept barking up the wrong tree, you know, Jonathan. Now, listen to this, son. Words of wisdom. If you are married to a woman who's as house proud as my wife, if I get out of bed in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, when I come back, the bed's made.
Cyril Fletcher.
Mind you, it's only a blanket on the floor.
Cyril Fletcher.
You may not realise, but sometimes I do take over the kitchen in the absence of Betty. But I find with these modern kitchens that when you open all those cupboards, I'm inclined very absent-mindedly to leave these cupboards open.
Yes.
So I wear the steel helmet that I used to wear in the war because I'm always knocking into these cupboards. And, of course, it's very effective, but it has a very strange effect on the tradespeople.
And I tell you something, I really do. I do help my wife. Yesterday, I cleaned the house with her, I made the beds with her, and tonight, I'm going to mop the floor with her.
Now, listen...
Always the day before... Sorry, Jim.
I was just going to tell this young boy that at his age I did have a household chore.
I'm not going to say it again.
I used to have to lay the fire, and I'm a very good layer.
Yes. See, some of the eggs are all whoppers, aren't they, Jim?
Now, Fry, can you lay a fire? Can you lay a fire?
I've tried, yes.
You wrestled the scouts together.
He built a fire the other night, this boy. I know this boy, Jonathan. I must confess, folks, I met this boy. And the other day, to please his mum and dad, he built a lovely fire in the drawing room. And they were annoyed because there's no fireplace. Thank you, Victor Borger. Died with you, too.
I think a man is jolly lucky to have a wife to tell him what to do and to have a secretary to do it for him.
I'd like to be a caveman if I was invisible. Oh, no, sorry.
I'm a caveman. One kiss and I cave in.
What about going through the week? I mean, you wouldn't naturally do the same job every day the same. I mean, Monday, you'd wash me smalls. I've got no bigs. I wash me smalls. Tuesday, I'd hoover. Wednesday, I'd do me ironing. Thursday, I'd borrow a ladder and paint the skirting board. Friday, I'd pile all the dirty dishes in the sink for the wife to watch. Saturday, I'd do me shopping. Then on Sunday, I could turn to the wife and say, no, sorry, dear, I'm too tired.
Thank you, team, very much. And thank you, Jonathan Fry.
Very good.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to meet our special guest, a lady who's given a lot of people a lot of pleasure for many years, both with her piano playing and with her cheerful approach to life. We all know her as Glad. But to give her her full title, it's that queen of the keyboard, Mrs. Mills.
Come on, Dad.
Welcome to the program, Glad. Have a seat. Can I just, before I introduce you again, can I just ask, you do prefer to be called Glad and not Gladys, is that right?
Yes, I do.
Splendid.
Well, my question is, does the team think that a sing-song round the piano is a lot more fun than all the canned music? And what songs do the members of the team prefer to sing on these occasions?
Does the team think that a sing-song around a piano is a lot more fun than all that canned music? And what songs do the members of the team prefer to sing on those occasions?
Well, before I go any further...
You haven't gone anywhere yet.
Now, if you say canned music, are you referring to baked beans?
that's the music that comes after.
Opus 57.
Ted,
well, I'll tell you something, Glad. Gladys did 6 weeks in Scarborough, and I did the following 6 weeks.
I did 4 weeks in
Glad. And I had your dressing room, didn't I, Glad?
Yes,
both of you?
The sweat box.
Yes.
Wasn't it terrible, wasn't it?
Dreadful.
Well, when you left something in one of the drawers there.
They wouldn't
you
fit
did?
You.
They wouldn't no, they fit wouldn't you. Fit me, but I tell you what I've done with them. I've covered a settee in two easy chairs.
Well, Arthur, I thought you were going to say you made a hammock for yourself.
I'll tell you what, Glad, I used the same piano... And the same piano stool as you did.
With the wood warming.
Because the first night...
Did she need it warm?
The first night when I sat on the piano stool, it said, oh, that's better.
Oh, that's
Jimmy, are you able to answer the question?
Of course I am.
Good.
Right, Mrs. Mills, I prefer to call her Mrs. Mills because we're on a formal basis. And you can call me Jim later when I call you Glad. At the moment, it's Mr. James Keith O'Neill Edwards and Mrs. Mills.
And if you kiss Mrs. Mills with her bill and yours, you have to do it to an agent.
Actually, we do it through a straw, but never mind. What I was about to say to you, Lady Mills, is I like to sing unaccompanied, around a fire.
Like in a pot.
When he starts singing, everyone leaves the room. That's what he means.
In a polite way of getting rid of you, Glad.
If you don't mind me saying so.
Not a bit.
I look forward to the occasions like a barbecue or something.
It's a barbecue. 12 men outside a hairdresser.
That's right. She was on the pan. Barbecue castle.
Actually, it's three bangers over some old bits of stuff I'm burning, but never mind that. We sing in the open under the stars.
Oh, God.
Unaccompanied. And we sing rounds, you know.
Yes.
And rounds. Who are you?
And they sing
well,
like
that's
square.
His shape, anyway.
Would you like me to sing you around?
Yeah, go on.
Sing us around, Jim.
Well, it goes like this.
Go on, I'll join.
Here we go.
It's an evening round.
Right.
Now you must all join in. See day now close.
See day now.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Each one seeks his own repose.
Each one seeks his own repose.
Sleep deep and brightly wake.
Why do you move the chamber pot?
On every morning.
Quiet! Thank you.
I knew what. Now, Glad wanted to know what sort of songs we'd sing. Well, I've got a selection of songs for swinging nuns. None shall sleep. Oh, Rosary, I love you. You're getting to be a habit with me. And I left my heart with some Franciscan.
All right, dear.
Well...
If only because...
I did write a song called I Used to Kiss My Girl on the Lips, but Now It's All Over. never got in the top ten, never.
Never in the
you
top
could, of course, ten. Sing the Londoner's song, Highgate to Kick Out of Queue.
Get a kick out of you. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Gladys to say something.
I want to ask Gladys a question.
Catch a churian and put it in your pocket.
Just a minute.
That was not musical.
Cyril Fletcher, will you shut up for a moment? Glad, all the tunes that you play, and you've played in absolutely every place that you can play a piano, what is your favourite tune?
Sleepy Time Girl, funnily enough.
Oh, lovely song.
Don't they'll sing it. I wouldn't please
that. Oh, no, you can't sing that. No,
would you like me to sing it?
No, please.
Yeah, play it. I'll do the soft shoes.
No, because I... because then it wouldn't be one of my favourites anymore.
How nice to hear the insults.
What did you say about you at Scarborough?
How nice to hear the insults coming from our guests.
Yeah, nice. Tim,
something is sticking out in this studio.
Don't be filthy.
Like a sore thumb. Like a sore thumb, and it happens to be a piano. And since there's a piano there, Glad...
There's a piano in every BBC studio. Glad, play us a tune.
Yeah, play us a tune.
Shall we get her to play us a tune?
Yeah.
Would you like that?
Arthur, you don't have to make a collection. Now, Arthur, get back to your seat. She may play a tune that you could sing. You never know.
Come on, darling, Glad.
What are you going to play?
How about You Make Me Love You?
Oh, yes.
Would you like to go round the piano?
No, that's how I don't mind.
You make me love you. I wish I'm on the view. Sometimes.
Mrs. Mills. Thank you. Thank you, Glad. Thank you, Mrs. Mills.
Why don't we do that every week? All this show lacks is music.
I couldn't have played it better myself.
All right, team, back to square one.
Yes.
Back to square one with Mr. David Livingstone St. George.
Oh, my word.
Now, just a minute. Mr. David Livingstone St. George has a question for you. This is it.
If the world runs out of oil and other fuels, could the team cope with the back-to-nature life, minus electricity, gas, piped water, transport, etc.?
If the world runs out of oil and other fuels, could the team cope with a back-to-nature life, minus electricity, gas, piped water, transport, etc.?
Well, you'd have your eight records.
Well, I could live
well actually, with the strikes that go on now, and they're getting gradually worse, we're getting used to going without electricity and without gas. Aren't we?
But the birth rate's going up.
But don't look at him. He's taking the tablets, but they're not working, aren't they?
I think I could only go through it the once.
Mr. David Livingstone St. George, it sounds as if you were sort of born in a jungle on the back of a dragon.
No, he's... No, he's just a patriotic explorer.
Don't kill my jokes.
No, I haven't.
Let's ask him.
He would automatically, adjust ourselves to these conditions.
Before leaving?
Well, I mean, you know... No flies on me. No, but the thing is, you see, that really... The days before this petrol and all this stuff and oil was invented, they used to go round and people, whenever they felt like it, they'd have a pony and trap. And they would ride round, and the rhubarb was magnificent. It's a cousin of ours, I know.
I would ride a horse. Fortunately, I have quite a few horses of my own.
I'd love to see you playing Don Quixote.
What at?
On a horse, shooting windmills.
No, he plays keep polo. Going off at a tangent.
I thought that was better than a single bicycle.
I'm trying to answer the gentleman's question.
Jimmy Edwards is trying to answer the question.
I would either ride a horse or ride a bicycle. And I've got one of each ready because this is going to happen within our living memories. You realise
that? Well, I've got one of each ready, but I've never asked the question.
Doesn't worry me because I've got 5 acres
Jimmy,
of woodland and a bicycle.
Jimmy, how are you going to light your house?
Set fire to it.
They used to... People used to light their houses before there was oil and gas and electricity.
How did they did it? Do it, you?
How did they did it? Well, you boiled the tail of a lamb.
Boiled the tail of a lamb?
Made some grease.
Yes.
Hello.
Stuck a wick up it.
Yes.
And lit it.
Did you?
It was called a candle.
And if you get a candle, it would see you through the wick.
Thank you, team, very much, and thank you, Mr. David Livingstone St. George. Thank you very much.
I had a gem to follow. Oh, wonderful.
Team, listen carefully, because here comes a question from Mrs. Sheila Hess.
Can each member of the team recall the first joke to really amuse him, and approximately how old was he at the time?
We've heard them all. Can each member of the team recall the first joke to really amuse him, and approximately how old was he at the time?
No, but I'm waiting.
Of course, I think that all the little boy jokes are so... they were naughty, really. And this was a joke that first made me laugh. I was about 5, and it was a rhyme, actually. It was a little rhyme. And a kid next door told me to it. He was a bit...
I wasn't alive when you were 5.
Hmm? You still aren't. The thing is, you know, this is how it went. Yes. This is true now, this is true.
Uncle Reuben said so.
Tired of life, I lay down in the gutter. A little piggy came along and laid down by my side.
Doesn't rhyme.
A lady passing by was heard to mutter, you can always tell who boozes by the company he chooses. So the little pig got up and walked away.
Cyril
Fletcher.
My favourite story is of this friend of mine who was walking along the promenade of a seaside town the other day, and a seagull burst
my
meaning, spotted it from afar. She was livid she was, so can't she do something about it? He said, what on earth can I do? So she said, get a piece of paper or something. He said, don't be silly, the seagull will be miles away by now.
No, but Cyril Fletcher, I have to ask you this question. How old were you when you first heard that?
Three.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
One of the earliest gags I ever remember was, why can't the Kaiser start his motor car?
Tom, why can't the Kaiser start his motor car?
Because Kitchener has the car key. Now, you tell that. You have to steer the car.
But they didn't have motor cars in those.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, no, they did.
Oh, yes, they did.
Oh, no, they did.
What is this? Pull yourselves together, children.
Jimmy Edwards.
That is sophisticated radio entertainment.
Jimmy, I remember my uncle teaching me a little poem that said, Mary had a little lamb to which she was so kind, and everywhere that Mary went, you saw her bear behind. Oh, it was a bear, not a lamb.
A different version of that story. Mary had a little lamb and the doctor fainted.
Mrs. Hess, have you any views about early humour?
In our own family, my father, you know, we seem to spend most of the childhood laughing at his jokes. Yes. Listening to Mrs. Mills reminds me of once he was teaching himself to play the harmonica. And Mother was very impressed at his progress, and she said, you know, George, you should save up and buy a piano. And he said, it's no use, I've tried, I can't get it in my mouth.
There you go.
Talking about harmonica, Mrs. Hess, talking about harmonica, you know, reminded me of a story which I've told before, but I'd like to say it again. Yes. I want to hear it.
Harmonica.
Little Mouse was running across Regent Street, and it was run over by a bus, and it was injured in a vital part, you see. All right? You with it? Well, say something, breathe, or do something. Right. And, he went into this place and he said to the man behind the counter, do you sell mouse organs?
Wait a minute.
No. And this man said, well, that's a fantastic thing, because a little girl mouse came in yesterday and asked the same question. He said, oh, yes, that must have been harmonica.
Thank you very much, team. And there, I'm afraid, we must close. Does the team think for today? On behalf of Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, Arthur Askey, Cyril Fletcher, and our producer, Edward Taylor, our thanks to all our questioners and our special guest, Mrs. Mills. If you'd like to ask the team a question, let's hear from you. And we hope you'll all join us again next week. Till then, this is MacDonald Hobley saying goodbye to you all. Goodbye.